Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Is that an accusation?
Oh, I mean, that's how they were able to read the card.
After the arrest, former Pistons guard Malik Beasley's lawyer released a statement today. Beasley's lawyer, Steve Haney, told the Detroit News, quote, "I want to make this perfectly clear. Any avoidance Malik Beasley has in connection with today's developments in the federal gambling arrests has no relationship whatsoever to any alleged or accused cooperation or information provided to the Eastern District in New York. Malik has not and will not cooperate with any pending federal investigations," unquote. Beasley was investigated by both the NBA and FBI this summer in relation to sports betting. He's currently a free agent but resides in Detroit while trying to get back to the NBA. Some good news in sports today. Detroit Tigers hitters Riley Green and Zach McKinstry have been announced as Silver Slugger finalists. The AL Silver Slugger winners will be announced on November 7th. Red Wings taking on the Islanders tonight in New York. That's at 7 o'clock. Jeff Rieger hosts the pregame show right here on 97.1 The Ticket at 6:45. At the Corwell Health Sports Desk, I'm Brendan Shabbat. For more, go to 97.1 The Ticket or Odyssey.com.
Gator, I've over the years, and I'm not alone in this, I think it's something a lot of guys do. I think it's a safe assumption a lot of guys watch a lot of mob movies.
Oh, yeah.
And
mob movies and gambling movies.
We're living in a timeline right now in sports that feels like it's going to be a movie someday.
Mm-hmm.
This story out of the NBA is one that is disturbing. It speaks to the dangers of what, you know, gambling can lead to, how bad it is, how widespread it is, as far as any kind of manipulation of personal stats is where some real vulnerabilities lie. And this is, it's a sad story. I hate that Chauncey's involved. Another former Piston, Damon Jones, is involved. Chauncey Billups, it sounds as though right now the extent of the accusation that his name is used as bait for illegal poker games or gambling where people would, hey, come play cards with Chauncey Billups. And then the people that were putting on the card games had altered shuffling machines to read cards. They had other cheating technologies, including poker chip trays that read cards through hidden cameras, special contact lenses and glasses that could read marked cards, and X-ray poker tables that could read cards face down. And so part of this whole, hey, come play poker with Chauncey included the people that were coming to play poker with Chauncey getting ripped off. As they were the hosts were cheating. And I mean, I guess the best we can hope for, if you're a fan of Chauncey Billups, who I think is one of the more underratedly beloved athletes in Detroit sports, Chauncey had a cool about him. Kang, you knew people in his inner circle. This is, I mean, I don't know if they still are or they aren't, but comes pretty surprising to you based upon what you had heard.
Yeah, I mean, everything I heard about Chauncey is what kind of what you see on the court is, you know, just real measured, calm, cool, collected, doesn't make any, you know, rash decisions and things like this, you know, seems pretty irresponsible, of course, if these allegations are true. But yeah, it didn't seem in character for something like for him. And we all know he made a ton of money playing basketball. He still makes money coaching basketball. He had investments outside of basketball. So I don't know if it was a money thing or a rush thing, or you spoke about, you know, mafia movies and a movie being made out of this one day. There's a glorification about being a guy, right? A mafia type guy, a leader. And I'm not saying he was the leader.
In the movies, okay.
How many people have a poster of Scarface at home or on screenshot on their phone or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, it goes from Goodfellas, whatever, pick your mob movie. People think it's cool. And I don't think that loses on a lot of guys as they even get older, you know? And they're, unfortunately, whatever reason is, it's all stupid to do it, but that's the only thing I can explain why someone would do things like this, right?
Yeah.
And then it goes back to people make dumb decisions. So, but yeah, it doesn't seem like a Chauncey move, but then again, we don't really know these guys either outside of what they show us, you know, or what they want to show us.
No, you're right about that. It's just sad. And hopefully we'll see what the details come out, as we've tend to do with stories of a very serious nature, is let them play out and get the details as they become the facts, as they become more prominent. But these were arrests, man. Chauncey coached his team last night. They lost to the Timberwolves. They got arrested this morning. Terry Rozier was with the Magic. They beat Miami last night. He did not play in that game. He got arrested this morning. I think they said 6 a.m. at a hotel in Orlando. Now, Rozier, this goes back to a game in March of 2023 when 30 wagers in 46 minutes came in on unders on his prop bets. He played 10 minutes and left with a foot injury. But Joe Pampliano, who a sports business writer who did a summation of everything, said that the defendants placed more than $200,000 of wagers on the unders for his prop bets. Played 10 minutes, foot, left the game.
You asked a question earlier in the show about, does the NBA need to just, or sports in general, need to eliminate prop bets?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
It's too easily manipulated. It just is. It's too easy to get to somebody to say, throw it this way or throw it that way when it comes to a prop bet, which is something specific to the game. You know, how many over-under on turnovers, over-under on points or rebounds or whatever. It's way too easily manipulated to get, specifically to get the under, because you can simply take yourself out of the game. I don't think that's a bad idea for these for the leagues to consider doing that.
Doesn't change my life.
No,
at all.
It does not. And you and I both have gambled online when it comes to sports.
Very small.
we gamble differently, but
okay, fair enough.
but we both gamble, but neither of us really do the prop bets.
No.
So it wouldn't change me at all.
248-539-9797 if you want to continue down that road. In the meantime, Scott, the Pistons played their opener last night. No Ivy, no Sasser. Started Cade, Duncan, Asur, Tobias, and Jalen Duren. Two things that stood out in that game. One was their lack of three-point shooting. A guy who shot 41% from three in his career against Detroit went 0 for the floor from three in Duncan Robinson. I think Cade was 1 for 6.
He was?
Yeah. Ultimately, the shooting didn't help them. But you know what else doesn't help? And I feel like this was a story a bunch last year, and I don't have the data to support this. How many times at the end of the first quarter did we look around and go, did they just give up 39 points in the first quarter?
You're right.
Did that feel like that happened a lot last year?
It was 35 last night, but yes. It did. No, 100%. Like, they got off to a slow start, and the other team gets off to a hot start. Afterwards, J.B. Bickerstaff was talking about they didn't come to play defense in the first three quarters of the game. They gave up 35, 29, and 30 over the first three quarters, and then 21 in the fourth when they made the furious comeback. I mean, that's not winning basketball. And basically, they got blown out because they got blown out in the first quarter, and that was the difference in the game. 35-19, and then, you know, the next two quarters, you're down one between the second and third quarter, and then the fourth quarter, you're up by 11. I don't like the formula of waiting until the end to do something that can be done easily. It's not dependent on, oh, is he hot or not? It's, are you giving the effort to play defense or not? And that wasn't there. As was pointed out last night in the text thread with some friends of mine from around the country, we're paying attention to this and also the Red Wings. Is this just a new hotness for Detroit sports that the first game of the year is horrible? Between the Tigers getting swept by the Dodgers.
Swept.
You get the Lions losing to Green Bay and look awful.
They look terrible.
Then you get the Red Wings lose to a bad Montreal team on opening night.
Fire everybody.
Yeah. And then now you get the Pistons losing to, what, a mediocre, at best, Chicago team?
I don't recommend this as a formula. Go get smoked on the first night of the season. But yeah, weird trend, huh?
Yes. Now, the good part of that trend is that the Tigers ended up making a run, being the best team in baseball for half the season, made it to the playoffs, won a playoff round, and then lost in a game five. The Lions have rebounded, and now they're 5-2, and they look like could be the best team in the NFC. The Red Wings have rebounded, although their game last night was a different kind of game too, but they're one of the better teams to start the season in a very short sample size. So can the Pistons take that next step? And okay, that one's out of the way. Now let's play basketball.
248-539-9797. If you want to give your first impressions, and as we always acknowledge, perhaps overreactions to the opener, Pistons last night opening their season. Plus, if you want to keep talking about this NBA scandal, really, really bad story. Undermines authenticity of games. I hate these. I still haven't gotten so cynical that I really think about this much when I'm watching games, but this continues. I suppose that'll probably change. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, open lines 2-4.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30. Rated T for Teen.
888-539-9797. Let's go to Pete. You're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. Thanks for always taking the call.
Sure.
As the lone Detroit fan in Chicago, I went to the game last night. And I'm pretty worried about this team. I know it's only one game. It just feels like we're losing the plot and losing the identity with bringing in Robinson and LeVert. Tobias Harris kind of falls into that camp too. Schroeder, Hardaway, Beasley, you know, I know that's a maybe. Those guys fit a Detroit team identity and provided really strong leadership, coaching up the young guys on the side. And I just don't think these replacements are going to replace the closest thing to back-to-work Pistons and bad boy Pistons we've seen in decades.
Well, I wouldn't try and mimic that group. I don't know that that's the way I would go about building the team. I had concerns that the players they brought in, while good, weren't as good to help you to win a game right now as the three that they relied on heavily last year, being Hardaway, Beasley, and Schroeder. Then you get into, so how are they going to be better? Well, your young players are going to step up and they're all going to make improvements, et cetera, et cetera. But at this point, you know, I felt like they'd skipped the step. I said this yesterday of the building process and probably overachieved last year. I expect them to be around the same, maybe even a little fewer wins this year. You know, it's one game. You can look unbeatable in one game and you can look terrible in one game. So, and in fact, the Pistons looked both in that game last night. They looked terrible. I mean, they looked terrible from about the 6-minute mark of the first quarter to, you know, well into the second half and built a 23-point deficit. That was disturbing. Duncan Robinson will make a 3-pointer this year. He's not going to go 0 for the season. You know, at some point, they are going to have Jaden Ivey back. And, you know, you can recover from an opening night loss in a season that's 82 games long.
I wonder when you look at, you go back and you look at the bad boy teams and the going to work Pistons and how they were constructed, and they were two totally different constructed teams. The bad boys were, they had a core group of like four guys that were drafted, and then they went out and acquired guys like Lambeer and Mahorn and Mark Aguirre that made them even stronger. The going to work Pistons were almost completely cobbled together from other teams' castoffs, with the exception of like Tayshaun Prince. Is this Piston version, if they're going to compete for a championship, are they going to do it a different way and it's like almost the entire team will be homegrown?
Maybe.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it is kind of cool. I mean, they've had a lot of high draft picks and they've got a lot of players with a lot of promise, but they have to, you know, capitalize and come through on that promise. But Pete, I'm not worried about an identity after one game. That game was not a work of art, but everything you said, if it keeps up, all of that is true if we're like into December. But as of right now, I'm withholding the judgment long term.
I think it's wise.
Feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox. Jalen Duren gets killed against bigs that can stretch the four. Put him in a screen and rolls, and it's pretty much a bucket. He has to be better. You know what's funny? They come out of the game, the first two baskets of the game, lobs to Duren. They come out in the second half, first set, lob to Duren. I'm like, this looks like a really effective offense. Just lob it to Jalen Duren. But he has his shortcomings. And there was like times where he's in the middle and he looked like a good rim protector, and other times not so much. But last night's defensive effort left a lot to be desired. And I felt like one other thing I didn't love in that game, they got back and they tied it. And I thought the shots they got in the last minute and a half were all terrible.
Yeah.
They ran a play where it led to a Cade fadeaway, which, you know, they got no open look out of a timeout. Then they took a forced three and another well-guarded three. I thought late in games, I want to see you execute something a little bit better than getting off.
I mean,
bad shots.
They made this furious comeback. They did come back, and then it looked like, oh my God, here's the play that's going to change everything when the ball went out of bounds.
Yeah,
and looked like that's Pistons basketball. That's how they called it, and then they're going to review it. I'm like, okay, well, review it. It's off the Chicago player, but was it a foul on Cade? And I'm like, is that a foul? I maybe not. I mean, is it one of those is just too close to say definitely that's a foul? And no, the NBA stepped up, said that's definitively a foul. Mm. And unfortunately, it was the worst time possible, because that was, if the Pistons had the ball, it was a tie game at that point. They could have taken the lead.
When they gave the Chiefs a touchdown, I turned off the TV. I couldn't take it anymore. I was like, this is enough. It's completely rigged. I'm out.
NBA rules in favor of the Chiefs.
Yeah. No, but the first 5 minutes, the Pistons look, all right, this is a good team, right? This is just picking up where they left off. And then for the next, I don't know, 20 minutes, they were literally the worst team I'd ever seen playing the league.
So I felt bad.
It was so bad. So bad. And at the end, they came back, like you said, Gator and ferocious comeback. And then there was a chance, I think Cade had a chance to hit a three, and he missed that. And it just felt like they were going to get close, but I never felt like they were actually going to go over that final hump to get the lead. You know what I mean? But because every time they would, I think, have a poor possession, and then the Bulls would come down and hit a three or something like that.
The Bulls did they fended very well. Yes. They did a good job of fending for 2.5 quarters.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know how the NBA is. It's not unusual to see late-game runs, and last night was no exception. I hated the execution of the offense when it got right down.
It seemed like everything was a real struggle for so long, just a struggle to get by a guy or come off a pick or anything. You know, it was just really tough to watch. Like, how come the other team's doing it so easily?
Right.
And then I'm like, we're counting Isaiah Stewart to hit threes? Like that. Thank God he was hitting threes.
Which he did.
Yeah, like that's what it kind of kept him within, if you call it 20-point striking distance.
But it's weird because, like, statistically, they scored 30, 30, and 32 in the last three quarters. Like, that's winning basketball. And it doesn't look like
the
that
Pistons
awful.
Offensively is what you're talking about.
Offensively and defensively over the last three quarters, they
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
They outscored them. But that first quarter, when you get hammered 35-19... That's not a good look. It's not a good start. And you get down by over 20. That's difficult, but it's not insurmountable in the NBA. I just kept waiting for the run, and there was the run to go after it in the fourth quarter, and they got it tied. Just didn't have enough.
Coming up today at 12:31, one-third of people believe they could survive this. One-third of people believe they could survive this. I can't wait to get Gator's take on this. Official statement now from the NBA. We are in the process of reviewing federal indictments announced today. Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups are being placed on immediate leave from their teams and will continue to cooperate. And we will continue to cooperate with the relevant authorities. We take these allegations with the utmost seriousness, and integrity of our game remains our top priority. That is a statement from the league. If you're just joining us, Terry Rozier, current Orlando Magic, Chauncey Billups, former Piston head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, and former NBA player and one-time Piston Damon Jones, all arrested today and part of a FBI gambling sting. Chauncey's involvement appears to be with illegal card games where they were rigged and a lot of technology was used. And Chauncey, as announced, it sounded like he was the bait, come play cards with Chauncey Billups, and then the people that would do it were being ripped off. Terry Rozier goes back to a game in 2023 where a whole bunch of bets came in on his unders, prop bets on his like points, rebounds, and assists. All of this has mob ties, and it feels like we're living in a timeline of a movie. Here's feedback coming in. I think the solution for prop bets is having a $200 maximum on prop bets. It can still be rigged, but is it worth it at that point? I mean, possibly. What if they just eliminate the under bets and you don't have to, I don't know what that means. What if you just eliminate the under bets, not eliminate props altogether? I skip a part that makes no sense here.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yep. You guys are crazy. There's no way sports books are going to eliminate prop bets. All the craziness we see in sports today is money related, and sports books make 90% of their money on prop bets. They don't care about the integrity of anything. They only care about money. Chad in a car. Chad, I don't think that the they want to do it. It's if the league say, you can't do this anymore. We're not going to allow you to bet on these. The leagues are the ones that need to step in. I don't expect those that are taking your bets to say, we're going to get rid of a popular bet. If the league wants to guard against, the prop bet is the easiest thing to manipulate.
I tell you what, that's an interesting battle that could take place because, I mean, wait, the sports books are just, they're setting up bets based on what the game is, right? They can do whatever they want with that. I mean, the problem was with the NBA, actually, it was a couple of years ago. The NBA and other leagues decided to have a partnership with it because they wanted a piece of it. This could be a really crazy battle if it gets to that.
This is what Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, said on the Pat McAfee show recently about prop bets and oversight of them. There you go. So can they actually do that? Well, we'll see if they decide that this is a vulnerability that they need to try and tie up.
Well, I mean, I guess it becomes a battle of consent, right? And do you need consent or not? They didn't have it before.
What do you mean?
When it comes to like prop bets or something like that. It's like if I had a sports book. And I look outside, and we've got a gathering of people, and I just make up a bet. I can do that bet. I don't need their consent. The people are outside who, that's what I'm betting on. I don't need their consent. Is the NBA trying to get that now? Like, say, wait a minute. If you're going to do this, you have to have our blessing to do this.
Well, if they're business partners, I mean, these are business contracts they have.
They are now. But yes. Like I said, they weren't before. So I wonder how valid these contracts really are.
I guess I'm not following you. I just feel like the NBA can sit down with their business partner and say, yeah, no more prop bets. If not, we're canceling the contract.
I guess it's interesting to see what the contract actually is. Because
we don't have the contract.
Sports betting existed well before they started doing
that. What relevance does that have to do with today? Is what I'm not following.
Because today, now you're getting, or whenever Adam Silver spoke on this and said that this is what they're thinking about, been, you know, they're having limits on or whatever it is, but it wasn't the case before. So I don't know, like, if you're a sports booker, are they going to push back and say, well, no, we're making good cash.
You mean
this.
In Vegas?
Yeah, or wherever.
All right, we'll get to this thing. 1/3 of people believe they could survive this. We'll get to that today at 1:31 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Feedback coming in. Look at Cade's last 3 minutes. Absolutely ugly. That's from an unnamed texter. Yeah, look, the ball was in his hands. They came out of a timeout. They diagrammed a play. It led to a fadeaway shot. Then they needed a three. He had took a covered three. Yeah, I wasn't crazy about. Look, I think JB Bickerstaff's a good coach. I didn't think the whiteboard drew up any great plays at the end of the game last night. It can happen. The other team could just be in the right defense. But yeah, the last couple of minutes of that game, when they got back into it and tied it, they had some ugly possessions. From an unnamed texter, the captain of the Asar Thompson bandwagon, I'm going to be concerned if his lack of aggression on offense continues. He's our second best player. We need him badly. Dimitri writes in, Duncan Robinson had 2 points with no other stat for 32 minutes. They lost because of him, he writes. Well, he had FGA.
Field goals attempted?
Yeah, he had 7 of those. He had 3 fouls, 1 turnover. But yeah, he was not particularly effective last night.
No, when you go 0-for-5 doing what you're supposed to do, which is knock down those shots,
yep,
that's not a good start.
Yeah, last night, it's one game, guys, but it showed that they really need someone to help Cade. Someone's got to step up every night to be that second scoring option. Without Malik Beasley, a guy you can count on to, like, you know, it's supposed to be Duncan Robinson or Asar Thompson, like that text just mentioned, like somebody has to step up and alleviate the scoring when Cade leaves the game or if he's just not on, you know? Because last night, Stewart luckily was able to score a little bit and that kept him in the game coming back, but you can't count on Isaiah Stewart hitting threes every night.
No, but I mean, but they had Stewart and they had Ron Holland. Both of those guys, I think, had 20 and 19 respectively. And I think that's Jaden Ivey's role, right? If they expect him to be the secondary scorer, the second scorer behind Cade Cunningham. But they're going to be without him for like 6 weeks. They're not even going to evaluate him for another 3.5.
All right, Gator. Survey. 1/3 of people believe they could survive horror movies. A survey of 2,000 adults revealed 34% of adults think they could survive a horror slasher film and defeat the villain.
Oh, and defeat.
Three-quarters credit their quick thinking and survival instincts for potential success, while 42% admit they're likely to be eliminated first. The OnePoll.com study found 14% would use logic and reason to outsmart the villains, and 13% would simply run away.
So this is slasher movies, right?
Yeah.
So when I think slasher movies, I think the classics, Friday the 13th and Halloween. So you're talking Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers.
I think Freddy Krueger probably should be included.
Okay,
in
if you want to throw Freddy in there, Nightmare on Elm Street, that's fine too. Here's the problem with all three of those villains, so to speak, the slashers, is that they all have a component that you can't just, they're not a person. You know, like Freddy was a figment of somebody's imagination. We kill you in your dreams,
yeah,
right? So that's a whole different ballgame. How can you possibly defeat that, even though they have sequels and movies where they show that they do it? Jason Voorhees was lying at the bottom of a lake for years, comes out, and then all of a sudden becomes this mass murderer out there and has been resurrected in countless movies, but he's got this otherworldly strength to him. He's not a human being anymore. Michael Myers, the child who murdered his babysitter or the mother or whatever it was when he was a kid and then was put in a sanitarium at Smith's Grove Sanitarium in Haddonfield, outside Haddonfield. I mean, he was a kid, and then all of a sudden now he becomes some supernatural guy because he was killed in several movies, surviving, you know, being stabbed in the eyes with knitting needles, falling off a balcony from 20 feet up, to being burned alive in Halloween 2, to being shot about 50 times at least by a bunch of troopers at the end of, I think it was Halloween 4, falling into a mine shaft, somehow miraculously is able to survive that because some dude who's living in underground tunnels starts performing some Celtic ritual that keeps him alive. And then Michael wakes up and turns on that guy. And then there's some other whole weird kind of storyline going on in him with some guy who's wearing boots, who I used to call Boot Tool, and this weird black hat. Didn't know who the hell that guy was. They're not normal people. This isn't like, you know, Doug all of a sudden went crazy, went on a killing spree, and can I outsmart that guy? That's different. These are like you're talking slashers. These aren't normal people. These are like supernatural beings. You can't survive that. You can't outsmart it.
So you've seen these movies?
Yeah, I've seen a few of them. Watched a few.
I know that I remember when I did watch a Friday the 13th movie, Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween. People would always say the same thing that we're watching. Just run away. And I'd always say the following. They don't know they're in a horror movie. They don't know that there's imminent danger. They're just trying to make out at the graveyard. They don't know that they're right. About to get slaughtered. They don't know. They have no idea. They don't know what happened earlier in the night.
Right. They don't know that, hey, I'm not related to Laurie Strode. You know what I can do? I can just leave Haddonfield. I'll make a new life in Chicago, and I'll be okay. I don't have to worry about that. Hey, Jason Voorhees, let me see. I don't know. Maybe not camp out at Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe stay. Maybe avoid Crystal Lake altogether.
About just go to Atlantic City for a long weekend.
Yeah, 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 something they like that. There instead. That's
they
good.
Don't know they're in a horror movie.
I mean, those are the most obvious ways to avoid Jason and Michael. Or simply, I'll just leave town.
Somebody just brought this. Somebody brought it up on Twitch because I'm not very versed when it comes to movies, but I am versed on a TV series. There is one horror movie that I'm sure I could survive. And FBG 25 would give you credit for triggering this. I'm sure I could survive in the world of The Walking Dead because I would just walk swiftly. All the zombies are slow.
Yeah, but next thing you know, you're surrounded by them. And then what, Glenn?
How do you next thing you know when you're faster than all of them?
But they come from different directions. And next thing you know, you're like you're running away. Oh, I got it here. And then you run another direction. Wait, there's some more over there. And then
okay, let me ask you.
You get surrounded.
Out of all of the villains you just mentioned,
yeah,
which would be the easiest to survive? And I'm throwing in the zombies from The Walking Dead.
Okay, so you're just saying, and assuming that I'm in the horror movie, right?
Yes,
so I don't know that Michael's chasing me. I just turn around and there's the shape is right there.
Yes.
What do I do? Okay, and you know you're screwed. But if I turn around and I see zombies from The Walking Dead, they're not exactly fleet of foot. Yeah, I guess to an extent, I think I could free myself from some difficulties there. And yet, you watch the show, you watched it for five seasons. You know the difficulty that you get yourself.
Yeah, I thought they overplayed it. I think these slow-moving zombies would be easy to escape from.
I didn't watch The Walking Dead, but I know of it, of course. Isn't it just strictly a numbers game with them? Like, you're just outnumbered at a point where, right?
It is a numbers game, but, I mean, you don't get yourself in trouble when you're that much faster than all of them.
I mean, they did have episodes literally where the humans are like the shepherd leading the flock of zombies, literally walking just two steps ahead of them to get them out and lure them into a different spot.
Like the Pied Piper.
Yes, yeah. 100%. Like there were multiple episodes like that.
A light jog would go a long way in the world of the Walking Dead.
So the problem is that the zombies are not just germane to Camp Crystal Lake or Haddonfield.
They're everywhere.
Or Elm Street. They are everywhere.
Okay. Did anyone think about building a giant treadmill on the show or anything like that?
Just putting the zombies on a treadmill.
Yeah. That's a great idea. That's
actually,
really? No one thought of this? I just thought of this.
You just thought of it.
I just read all the zombies.
The treadmill defense.
Wait for next season.
Brilliant.
Oh, there's still a season going on?
Yeah, there's all offshoots and.
One third of people believe they could survive horror movies. Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street topped the list of most memorable villains at 40%, followed by Hannibal Lecter at 39% and Michael Myers at 33%.
You're going to survive Hannibal Lecter?
That's what they have.
Good luck there.
Nearly half the respondents said the most important survival rate is never splitting up. 37% think they'd most likely die by trusting the wrong people.
I think that's
probably true in society in a lot of fronts.
Who would you trust the most when it comes to if you're thrown in a horror movie?
Who would I trust the most?
Yeah, to help you out.
Like with the best survival skills in my family or that I know?
Here, let's go here in the building. Somebody that you
Jansen.
Feel. Yeah?
That's yeah, probably, Jansen that's I'm sure obvious. Has a, you know.
Jansen, he might be able to match up pretty well with Michael Myers and with Jason.
I also think he probably has the best survival skills.
Probably.
Followed closely by me. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Pistons feedback still coming in. This is the first time them guys have played together. Give it some time. There's no way anybody that knows anything about sports think these guys were going to pick up where they left off from last season. That's from Fletch in Detroit. He put a question mark at the end.
Now, does the same thing go for the Bulls?
I mean,
it's the first time them guys have played together, right?
It is the first time them guys played together.
First time everybody.
Well, I mean, there could be bigger growing pains one team than another, but yeah. It's the first time them guys played together. The Pistons showed a lot of good last night. Cade, Ron, Stu, Duren went out with only two fouls early, and clearly Robinson needs to produce more. Cade was getting all-star calls from the ref. Respect has been earned. Well, he didn't on the overturn. And you know every once in a while there's a player on the other team that just annoys the crap out of you?
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know? Can I guess?
Sure.
Want to say it on the count of three?
Sure.
Just the last name?
Yep.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Gilly. Is it Ginny or is it Gilly?
Giddy.
Is it?
It's Giddy, yeah.
Oh.
What'd you say, Gator?
I thought it was Gilly.
Gilly?
Yeah. It's not Gilly. I'll call him Gilly from now on. Josh Gilly. Yeah. It's Gilly from Game of Thrones.
I don't know where you got Gilly. Because it says his name on the back of the jersey.
I wasn't feeling giddy when I saw him play, so I'm going to call him Gilly from now
who
on.
Who is Gilly? I want to see who this might be.
Gilly's the girl.
Gilly from Game of Thrones, yeah. A wilding woman who is the daughter and wife of Craster and close companion of Samwell Tarly.
Yeah, they had a kid together. Well, they didn't have a kid.
Was she the one from up north or whatever? One of the
yeah, she's a wildling.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, wildling. Yeah, that's right, it. Yeah. Not up north like Michigan, like Sagatuck. Like I was thinking.
Yeah. Sagatuck is out west.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, she's from Marquette.
Yeah. Anyway, she had 10 and 8 for the Bulls last night.
And she was annoying the crap out of Gator.
She was. 11 assists.
Is it because he puts a? Is it because he does his hair?
It doesn't help.
It doesn't help.
All right, Gator, I know you don't have the long hair like him. You could if you wanted to because you got great hair.
Yeah.
But would you do your hair if you're a professional basketball player, like put gel in and everything like that?
I mean, I use product in my hair on a daily basis, but would I
for a game like
put it like that and then the part down the middle and kind of over the side? No.
See, I never did do my hair. If like, I played basketball, I'd be like, no, the hair is just going to be like bedhead. I don't care.
I would. You know what I would do? Honestly, probably wear a headband just to keep it out of my eyes or whatever.
You know who he reminded me of? He reminded
Gilly?
Me, yeah, of Trent Crim. Who is the journalist in the show Ted Lasso?
There you go.
He had that look. He looked like Trent Crim's son.
Can you know who Trent Crim or his son is?
Yes. I don't know the son. I don't remember the son. I only watched
it. No. I'm saying he looks like he would be Trent Crim's son.
That's so why you know
Trent
Crim.
You're down with Trent Crim?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, not bad, Doug.
Okay, now I'm the odd man out.
No, yeah, see, feel good for Doug. He gets to reference the show.
I'm happy for Doug. Woo!
Anyway, Giddy was annoying as hell.
So is Gilly.
More feedback here to the Carson Anderson inbox regarding the 1/3 of Americans think that they can survive in horror movies. Scott writes in, a mummy or Frankenstein, you just run, they have no speed. Jason, lead him home into a lake, he can't swim. Myers, I haven't figured this one out yet. Dracula, stake through the heart. Godzilla, stay out of Tokyo. all quality strategies.
Well, except for, okay, here's a couple things. The latest version of The Mummy that I saw that had Tom Cruise in it, the mummy was a female, and she was stealth AF.
Really?
Yes. Very difficult to escape from. Godzilla, last we checked, under the careful watch of Monarch, Godzilla's all over the place, okay? Mm-hmm. He's not just hanging out in Tokyo. Godzilla can go where the hell he wants. So, and he's not a slasher. I think he's free from this conversation.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing.
That's a whole different ballgame. But yes, getting out of Haddonfield or getting off of Elm Street or not going to Camp Crystal Lake, or Crystal Lake in general.
These are good strategies. Yeah, good strategies. Yeah. So, not that it's any more fun to talk about, but the Red Wings played last night and led 1-0, led 2-1, lost 4-2. We did see the first career goal from Finney, but overall, your thoughts on the game?
Well, not last night.
Wasn't it his first? I thought they said it was his first. My apologies.
No, he is, because he had 3 points on Sunday, including 2 goals.
Okay, I swore they said on the broadcast that was his first goal. My bad. Anyway, or maybe it wasn't him. Did anybody else score their first goal?
No, the first goal of the season for
Compher. Oh, it was Compher's first goal of the season, yes. What was a throw it at the net. There was actually a couple of rebounds, but they lost to a rookie goalie. You never like that, making his debut.
Oh, and they trailed 2-1, by the way. They tied it up.
I thought they were up 2-1. I'm all over the place with
this. Okay.
Let's talk more about Gilly. No, 4-2, they lose a game. You know, Buffalo's not a good team. I expected to be a good team.
No, they got beat by a rookie goaltender, and that sucks. Look, the first period of the game, they were shorthanded considerably. I mean,
dude, the first 4 minutes, they had 2 penalties.
Yeah, it was brutal. So when you're killing penalties that early, Todd McCullen said afterwards, he's like, yeah, we had guys that didn't see the ice 10 minutes into the game. They hadn't seen the ice yet. Other guys had played 5 minutes because of penalty kill. So it shouldn't be an excuse. That said, you still had leads. After you get past that first period, it's a scoreless period. You have the chance to put things away. You got up 1-0. They just looked listless at times. And other times they had tons of opportunities to score, but they just couldn't bury it. You know, they try the one timer and they'd either break the stick or they'd whiff on it partially and they didn't get enough on the shot or whatever. But they had a bunch of opportunities, particularly in that third period. They just couldn't answer. And they'd been very good early this season when, pulling the goalie, helping them out. But last night they just couldn't. And Gibson wasn't great in net either. The defense in front of him wasn't great. They get back at it tonight. That's the good news. I'm sure Tom McClellan loves that part. Like, well, flush it. Here we go. Another opportunity. And I imagine Talbot will probably be in net tonight against the Islanders.
What do you think of Gibson?
I guess I thought at times he looked great. I think the first half of the game, he was great. And then, you know, a couple goals go by like, ooh, was that? I mean, man, that's not his fault. And then that one wasn't that. But then the third and fourth goals, I wasn't thrilled.
He had that post-to-post save early on the penalty kill that was pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
But, yeah, all in all, kind of disappointing. I just felt like I want that team to change the narrative about him so bad that that's a game you don't want to give away.
No, it's not a game you want to give away. And watching it looked like you had DeBrinket missed his opportunities, and he still hasn't scored a goal yet this year. Lucas Raymond had chances that were, you know, these one-time passes that yawning net couldn't do it. Marco Kasper, same thing. Dylan Larkin on a breakaway. Just missed opportunities. It's a yuck, throw it in a garbage game. Get back at it tonight.
248-539-9797. Hey, just a reminder, you can stream this show using the Odyssey app. Get it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. You can also stream through our website, 971theticket.com, where the Birch Kid and Evan are responsible for great content. There is streaming with video with twitch.tv and youtube.com. You can go to those sites and watch the show, see into our studios. There was a big station meeting and people were commenting because the backdrop behind you was rather crowded earlier. Speaking of rather crowded, the backdrop behind me is about to get a little crowded.
Oh, it is crowded. Look at that.
Maybe we should, two, three
of those. Huh? Yeah. We just got another one?
I don't know if, yes, perhaps that's why the meeting, but can't see him in the current camera shot.
Did I say Marconi?
Is that what that says? Anyway, you can stream with video. Go to twitch.tv and youtube.com and search up 971 The Ticket. Comment on the streaming chat in those sites. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.